نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah, and we seek His assistance, and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for you demand your mutual rights and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a string, and every string is in the fire. Tonight's talk, inshallah ta'ala, will be based on the hadith from Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslims and others, Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim and others, and we'll be reading and extracting from the explanation of Umdatul Qari, which is the explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari, by Al-Imam Al-Ayni Rahimahullah. Imam Al-Bukhari Rahimahullah, he says, حَدَّثَنَا سَعِيدُ بْنُ أَبِي مَرْيَمْ قَالَ أَخْبَرَنَا مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ جَعْفَرْ قَالَ أَخْبَرَنِي زَيْدٌ وَابْنُ أَسْلَمَ عَنْ عِيَادِ بْنِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ عَنْ أَبِي سَعِيدٍ الْخُدْرِي رضي الله عنه قال خرج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في أضحى أو فطر إلى المصلى فمر على النساء فقال يا معشر النساء تصدقنا فإني أريتكن أكثر أهل النار فقلنا وبما يا رسول الله قال تكثرن اللعنة وتكفرن العشير ما رأيت من ناقصات عقل ودين أذهب للب الرجل الحازم من إحداكن قلنا وما نقصان ديننا وعقلنا يا رسول الله قال أليس شهادة المرأة مثل نصف شهادة الرجل قلنا بلى قال فذلك من نقصان عقلها أليس إذا حاضت لم تصلي ولم تصم قلنا بلى قال فذلك من نقصان دينها. إمام البخاري رحمه الله, he says that it's been narrated to us by Sa'id ibn Abi Maryam, who said that it was reported to us by Muhammad ibn Ja'far, who said that it was reported to me by Zayd, and he is Ibn Aslam, on the authority of Iyad ibn Abdullah, on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. He said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came out to Musalla on the day of Adha wa Fitr. And he went past the women and he said, O you group of women, I command you to give sadaqah, because indeed you women have been shown to me as the majority of the companions of the fire. So the women said, and why is that, Ya Rasulallah? He said, because you always curse and you're ungrateful to your husband, I haven't seen anyone more deficient in their intellect and their deen that takes away the strength from a strong intellectual man than one of you women. The women said, and what is our deficiency in our deen and our intellect, Ya Rasulullah? He said, isn't one of you women, your witness is equivalent to half the witness of a man? The women said, of course. He said, that is your deficiency in your intellect. And isn't it the case that when you are menstruating that you don't make salat and you don't fast? They said, of course. He said, and that is the deficiency in her deen. Imam Al-Ayni rahimahullah, he says that this hadith is collected by Muslim and Nasa'i and Ibn Majah with different wordings and different narrations. And that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went out on the day of Adha or Fitr to the Musalla. Imam Al-Ayni rahimahullah, he says that he went out from either his house or the masjid to the Musalla, and this is a place where the Salatul Eid is performed in an open area. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, O you group of women. And Al-Ayni, he said that a group or ma'ashar, this refers to a group which is mixed up, or a group that is together. Mixed up meaning they have different positions or opinions, and together meaning they're all on the same way, and Allah knows best. He says that al-layth, he says what is meant by this word ma'ashar or a group is every group that their affair is the same affair. And this seems to be more apparent of its meaning. And Ahmed ibn Yahya, he says that the meaning of this, or the plural of this, is ma'ashir. Al-Ayni rahimahullah, he continues as he says, this statement that you make a lot of cursing, or that the women curse often, he says that this word curse, it means linguistically in the Arabic language to push away or turn away or to keep far away from good. And what is meant is that they speak with the words of cursing often. And that doesn't mean curse words, but that means may the curse of Allah be on you. May the curse of Allah be on you. Like that, and not using curse words. Though the use of curse words is also impermissible in this deen and forbidden. And you deny or you're ungrateful to your husbands. Al-Ayni rahimahullah, he says that ungrateful is from the word kufr. And this is to cover. And here it means to cover the blessings or the favors. And you cover those blessings or favors by not showing your thanks to them. And what is meant is that the women deny the favors of their husbands, and they think that what the men do, or they look at what the men do as something small, or something like that. The statement, the husbands, or al-ashir, it refers to the husbands, because the husbands are the ones that live with the women. And in other places they say what is meant by the ashir is the one that you live with and your two hands are together and your affair is one. And this statement, the intellect, from the statement of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I've never seen from deficiency in the intellect. The intellect here In the Arabic language, it means the opposite of stupidity. And Ibn al-Anbari, he says that the aqil, or the intellect, is the one who has his affairs together and has a good, strong position or opinion. And others, they explain that what is meant by the intellect is that which prevents a person and turns him away from following his own desires. And this is taken from the statement, اِعْتَقَلَ لِسَانُ, or his tongue is tied, or something like that. When his tongue is prevented from allowing him to speak. And al-Asma'i, he says that what is meant by the intellect is that it is that which holds back from that which is ugly, and it limits the soul and prevents it from doing anything other than that which is good. And others, they say that the home of the intellect is in the brain, and the heart is where the actual organizing takes place, or something like that. Others, they say that what is meant by the intellect, it is the power to distinguish between the affairs that are ugly and those that are beautiful. And there are other definitions that the Shaykh brings, and we'll leave it at that, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. As far as the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the women said, and what is our deficiency in our deen? And in one of the narrations of Imam Muslim, it says that فَقَالَتْ امْرَأَةٌ مِّنْهُنَّ جَزْلًا, that a lady with a strong intellect from amongst the women said, what is our deficiency in our deen? The Shaykh Al-Aini, he says that this question from the women about the deficiency in their deen and in their intellect, that is because they are unaware of what this deficiency is, so they question. And some of them say that this question itself shows their deficiency. And that is because they have witnessed or accepted what has been attributed to them from the three affairs, that they curse often, and that they deny or ungrateful to their husbands, and that they're difficult, or they strip an intelligent man from his intellect. And then it becomes difficult for the women, the statement, they are deficient. And the Shaykh, he says, this is a question, in fact, not a difficulty. Because after the women have agreed to these three affairs, that they curse often and they're ungrateful to their husbands and they take away the intellect of a strong man. And we had explained this before, some time before, as some of the ulama said, that they make the men weak like the women. A strong man, because of the ungratefulness of his wife, he becomes weak like his women, like the women. As in the example, the women, they call their husbands to buy and purchase cars and houses on riba. And the strong intellectual man, he knows that Islam prohibits it. But the women pulls at him until he submits and gives in, and he becomes weak and deficient in his deen, just like her, because of his disobedience to Allah and his Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. The Shaykh, he says, in fact, this is a question from the lady, and there's no difficulty from the women, and there's no difficulty in understanding this, and that is because after the women have accepted these three affairs, then there's no problem. The women in this hadith accepted what the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said about them, and then they questioned about what is the deficiency. So it's not that they were denying that they were deficient in these affairs, but that how are they deficient, or what makes them deficient. As the Shaykh, he continues, he says, so when the reason of their deficiency in their deen and intellect was not known to them, they questioned about that with their statement, what is our deficiency in our deen and our intellect? And the acceptance of these affairs, and with the acceptance of these affairs, how does it make them deficient? And the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, he explains what was hidden to the women from those affairs with his statement, isn't the witness of a lady equal to half the witness of a man? To the end of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is the answer of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam with gentleness and guidance, and without being harsh or hard, and without blaming them, as he addresses the women according to the level of the women's understanding. And that is because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was commanded to address the people according to their intellects. And Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, he says, as far as the description of the women being deficient in their deen because of their leaving off of the salat and the fasting, then this too is problematic in trying to understand for some. And it's really no problem. And that is because the deen and the iman and the Islam are all together with one meaning. So the one who has a lot of worship, then his iman is increased and his deen is increased. And the one whose worship is deficient, then his deen is also deficient. So the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so is not the witness of a lady equal to half the witness of a man? This is a motion to the statement of Allah Ta'ala, فَرَجُلٌ وَامْرَأَتَانِ مِمَّنْ تَرْضَوْنَ مِنَ الشُّهَدَاءِ, and a man and two women from who you are pleased with to be witnesses. And if it was said, what is special or different about this statement of Allah Ta'ala and the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the Prophet did not say, is not the witness of two women equal to the witness of one man? Then we would answer, the Shaykh is saying, we would answer with our statement, because the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is clearly, or it clearly states the deficiency of the women as opposed to what was mentioned in the ayah, even though it means the same. And this is for the people who understand, because this is a little intricate. I think the Shaykh is saying, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, when the Prophet ﷺ says, isn't the witness of one lady equal to half a man? But there's no such thing as half a man. So it shows that the lady is deficient. As opposed to two women and one man, then it's two women and a man. It might not necessarily make it as clear as half a man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And the Shaykh, he goes on to extract some verdicts from this hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he says, also we see in this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the encouragement for the imam to go out with his people to the musalla on the day of the Eid and the open area to establish the Salatul Eid. And this was the case of the Muslims for the first part of this ummah, that they used to do that. And then the people afterwards, most of them, they left this when the masjids became bigger. And even with this, there are a group of people in certain countries that they haven't left this. The Shaykh here, he's motioning to that the Salatul Eid, if the weather is nice, during the time of the Prophet ﷺ in the early part of Islam, the Salatul Eid was not performed in the masjid, but it was performed outside in an open area and not in the masjid. And it's only from the sunnah of the Messenger ﷺ to perform the Salatul Eid in the masjid if the weather is bad outside, either because it's cold or raining or snowing or what have you. The Shaykh, he says, the next thing in this hadith is the encouragement to give sadaqah. And that is because giving sadaqah is from the virtuous, pious deeds. And indeed, the good deeds, they wipe away the bad deeds, especially on the day of the Eid when the rich and the poor are together. And the poor are feeling a little bad when they see the rich, because the rich are wearing such fine clothing, especially those poor women or the poor widows. And indeed, sadaqah for them and the likes of this day of the Eid, then it will not harm, it will not make them feel so bad and what have you. And as far as the Prophet ﷺ specifying the women or singling out the women on that day, as he commanded the women to give sadaqah, because being greedy and stingy oftentimes overpowers the women. And oftentimes the women have little knowledge or understanding of the magnificent reward of giving sadaqah, and how giving sadaqah is a virtuous deed, and that there are blessings for it in this world and in the hereafter. And I just wanted to add on, as we were with this subject and the sisters before, that the sisters, on the likes of this night, of ladies' night, where the men have provided and paid for all the food of the women, and that left the women to have their money to be open and free to do with it as they like. And hopefully this advice of the Messenger ﷺ would be an encouragement or a commandment for the women to give their wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh, he continues as he says, as all we also see in this, that it is permissible for the women to go out to the musalla for the salat with the people on the day of the Eid. And At-Tahawi, he says that this commandment or this issue for the women going out to perform the Salatul Eid was in the early part of Islam, where it was to show that the Muslims' numbers were larger in the eyesight of the kuffar, that to show that the Muslims actually have some type of numbers in the eyesight of the kuffar, as if all the Muslims come to one area, it looks like so many. As I mentioned before, that one of the kafirs, he told me, it seems like you must be a million Muslims in East Orange. And even if you're only 1,000, but the Muslims are all over the place, and seeing them coming and going all the time, it looks like the Muslims are larger than they are. And then it keeps the enemy at bay until the Muslims are actually strong enough to handle their business. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our numbers and our strength, and make us victorious over the disbelieving people. The Shaykh, he says also that in this hadith we see that it's permissible to advise the women separately, and that this is for the imam or for the one who he appoints or the one who takes his place. I guess that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, that the Shaykh, that he's making this statement to show that this is permissible for some people and not permissible for other people. To just take it upon themselves, get the sisters together, and start advising them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. He also says that in this hadith we see that sometimes you can be a little forceful in your nasiha. And that would be as a reason to eliminate the characteristics that you are warning against, or the sin that the people are doing, or something like that. And in this statement of the Shaykh here, this is something that sometimes the people, they don't understand, as was the case in our last talk around the issues of the women, fitna of the women. The women were wondering why I was a little harsh at that time. And sometimes it's important to be a little harsh in order to remove those bad characteristics that we have floating around with the people. And at those times it's permissible to be a little hard, as the Shaykh is extracting from this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the day of Eid, which is supposed to be a day of happiness for the women, he's telling them, I see most of you are from the companions of the hellfire. And this is a forceful statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when people are so happy on the day of Eid, as it's a day of celebration. And this harsh stance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to help the women eliminate those evil characteristics that make them the majority of the companions of the hellfire. And this has been the case in some of our lectures before, like the women of Jannah, or the Wa 1 and 2, or the shameless women, or the disobedient women, or the indecent women, and the other lectures like this, that every time, 6 months or so, twice a year, more or less, that the women need to be admonished. And in those type of admonishments, they're not the times to be gentle or easy and what have you. And we see this example is learned from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the understanding of our ulama. So don't think that this stance is being taken just because someone hates the women, or he doesn't like the women, or he's just always against the women, or why is it always us women, and so on and so forth. This is from the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. I don't think myself or anyone wants to make a statement that's going to have the people mad at him. No one wants to make a statement to the people and know that after he makes that statement that people are going to be mad at him. No one wants to make those type of statements. But sometimes those statements must be made in order to correct. And this is the same case that many of us as adults, we know when we talk to our children. We love them, but we have to let them know sometimes. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be wise, to know that there's a time and a place for everything and not to be confused. There's a time and a place for everything and not to be confused. And this was the way of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And the people who paint the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam as always constantly smiling and what have you, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam smiled. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam gave strong words also in order to put the people in place. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. And we only do this at our masjid, and it's not done as much as it needs to be done at other masjids. Walhamdulillah, because many of the women here we see are in adherence to the Quran and the Sunnah to the best of their ability and their striving. But if we lighten up and we allow the women to continue to do as they like, whenever they like, with no admonishment in particular for the women, as we see from the advice of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and with a strong stance in advising and admonishing the women, then the women might be like at other masjids. Then the women might be like at other masjids with the dress code of the women, or I should say the lack of the dress code of many of the Muslim women at other masajid and other things. So we should be happy that we have a reminder to call us to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because with all of those talks, whether there was the waq or the disobedient women or the shameless women or the fitna of the women or what have you, if the women were fair and honest, all they can say that those talks were calling the women to do good and warning the women from doing bad. That was the subject matter or the context of those talks, to encourage the women to do good and to warn the women against bad, and nothing else other than that. Because there's nothing in just blaming someone for the sake of blaming him, but you blame someone who is in fact wrong and needs to get the acts together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. The Shaykh, he also says that we benefit from this hadith, that when you talk, that sometimes you don't address a particular person, but that you address the general people, as this is easier for the acceptance of the advice. And he says also, we see in this that the sadaqah, it removes or fights off the punishment, and that it forgives and removes the sins. And this is another encouragement here from this hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to give the sadaqah. As the Messenger of Allah alayhi wasallam, he's showing that the women are in the hellfire. And the reason is, or that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said he commanded the women to give sadaqah because he saw that the majority of them were in the hellfire. So if the women want to safeguard themselves from being from amongst the women who will be in the hellfire, then they must give their wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that this would forgive them of their sins, and that this would keep off the punishment of the hellfire for them. And these, our women should be like the women who were there during the time of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, wanting to know what they can do. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam gave you the answer. So sometimes, and this is advice for our women, sometimes when you see that you have a little extra money because your husband, mashallah, is taking good care of you, then don't let the first thing be a new bag, or a new pair of shoes, or a new jilbab, or a new. Let it be giving some of your wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with that extra wealth, so that you can save yourselves from the fire. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was shown that you women are the majority of the women of the hellfire. The Shaykh, he also says that in this hadith, it shows that to deny the favors and the blessings, it is haram. And that to not to give thanks for these blessings is blameworthy. And he says that in this hadith too, that using bad language and cursing or insulting and talking bad about the people, it is haram also. And that this is from the disobediences. And if a person continues with this, then they will fall into the major sins. And because of this, Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, he uses this as evidence to show that cursing, or saying the curse of Allah is on you, or insulting, is from amongst the major sins, that the people have been warned if they stay with those sins, that they will be in the hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the fire. So don't underestimate and overlook the issue of bad language, as some people think that a statement can throw them in the hellfire. By saying, all I did was say something, it ain't like I hit them, or something like that. But statements can get you thrown in the hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Also in this hadith, it shows that the statement kufr can be used to refer to sins that do not take you outside of this religion. And that is mentioned as straight kufr, as a harshness against the one who does that practice. So this statement, يَكْفُرْنَ الْعَشِيرُ وَتَكْفُرْنَ الْعَشِيرُ, where that the women, they are ungrateful to their husbands, where they show kufr to their husbands, which is the denial of thanking their husbands for what they do. then this isn't the type of kufr that takes you outside of the religion, but the word kufr is used to show the gravity of that disobedient act, and to discourage the people from performing it, and to encourage them to stay away from it. And this is similar to his next statement, that the mention of kufr can mean other than kufr in Allah, or disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says in this hadith, it also shows that it's evidence that a deficiency in obedience is a deficiency in the deen. And the Shaykh, he says in this hadith too, we also see that having the power to be, or the ability to be a witness, then this shows the level or the strength of your intellect. And then the Shaykh, he says, and I'm only quoting some of this explanation, as the explanation will be quite long. The Shaykh, he says, and this is evidence that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he was upon of magnificent character, and how he was very gentle and overlooking, and how he was merciful and compassionate to his ummah, alayhi salatu wassalam. And this is the explanation of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam by Imam al-Ayni, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or where Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came out to the Musalla on the day of Adha and Fitr. And he went past the women and he said, "O you group of women, I command you to give sadaqah, because indeed I've been shown that you are the majority of the inhabitants of the hellfire." And the women said, "And why is that, Ya Rasulallah?" He said, "Because you always cursing someone, and you deny the favors of your husbands, and I haven't seen anyone more deficient in their intellect and their deen that takes away from the strong intellect of a bright man than one of you women." And the women say, "What is our deficiency in our deen and in our intellect, Ya Rasulullah?" And he said, "Doesn't the witness of one lady, or isn't the witness of one lady equal to half the witness of a man?" And they said, "Of course." And he said, "That is the deficiency in her intellect." And he says, "If the women are on their menstrual cycle, they don't make salat and they don't fast." They said, "Of course." He said, "And that is the deficiency in their deen." This is what I wanted to present tonight from the true nature of the women, to show them and to describe to them that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described them with, in light of revelation and guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that this is a talk or a lecture to down the women, but this is to remind them of their true nature in a way that it might benefit them. As the intellectual women who had listened to the statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, they didn't deny the description that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described them with. They only wanted to know why, so that they might do better in trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stay away from disobedience to Him and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that the women might be on a better track if they take this guidance of giving their wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if they stay away from cursing and talking bad about the women and the believers in general, and if they are more grateful and thankful to their husbands, then the women will be better off. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and bless our women and make them from the righteous, obedient Muslim women. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. I don't know if there were any comments or questions about this talk. If so, we'll give the women a couple of minutes, inshallah. Maybe they might send up something. And if the brothers have something, we'll try to entertain it until then, inshallah. Bismillah. Oftentimes when the talk is about the women in a manner where the women think that the talk is against them, then the question comes and the sisters don't have to write this comment or question, what about the brothers? When are you going to admonish them? There's times when brothers are in the masjid and there's no women, like sometimes at Isha or at Fajr time, and the brothers, they get their reminders and their warning. But women shouldn't worry about the next person. And this is common not for the women, but for people in general. When you call the people to do what's right and better for their own soul, they say, what about someone else? But on Yawm al-Qiyamah, they're going to be running from their mother and their father, and their brother and their sister, and their mate and their child. And they're only going to be concerned about themselves. And even as when the question was asked to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, when he said everybody's going to be standing up there on one plane, barefoot naked and uncircumcised, and they were asking the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, men and women, and the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said things are going to be more serious than that. So this standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't worry about the next person. We have to make sure that we as individuals are together, because we're going to stand alone before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's not always worry when the advice or the admonishment goes for one people against another, or as opposed to the other. Then the people feel, well, what about them? Really, it's what about you when the advice comes. And we should be happy when the advice comes to us, that it can benefit us and allow us to improve ourselves. Especially most of us, that we remember our days of kufr. Will we be happy that no one presented Islam to us with what we know now? Will someone be happy, I wish no one ever presented Islam to me? I never heard a Muslim say, I wish someone who accepted Islam, I wish no one would have called me to Islam, then I would have never been a Muslim. But people are happy to be Muslims, walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Meaning they're happy to hear the truth so that they can have an opportunity to do what's right and leave off what's wrong. After we recognize that with the favor of Islam, why do we deny it if it comes to a point? As if the khutbah or the dars, everyone says, well, that's against so and so, or that's against that group, or that's against that group. All of these ayat and hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam are for all of us. As some people feel, that lecture was for her. And even some of the people said the lecture on the fitna of the women, it was for such and such of a lady. When did people figure out that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these ayat so that they didn't apply to anyone until 1400 years later here in Masjid Ahl al-Sunnah, where some women are off the hook living lives of disobedience to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, that those ayats were revealed for her case only? Subhanallah al-Azim. These ayat and hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they're for all of us. And they're for all people, for all times and places, if we reflect on them. As the Quran can be proof and evidence for you or against you. For you, if you let it change your lives to obedience to Allah and His Messenger alayhi wa sallam. And against you, if it shows you that you're wrong and you don't change and you know better. So let's let the advice and the admonishment benefit us, and don't let it drive us in the wrong direction. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. At any rate, we hope that tonight, inshallah wa ta'ala, we ask Allah that our good deeds, I will ask Allah to make our women grateful to us for the little that we do. And that the women, we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes out the bad and the ugly and the evil out of the hearts of our wives, and to looking to the negative side of things all the time, or belittling and undermining and considering small all of the efforts of the men. I ask Allah to take this out of the hearts of our wives and our mothers and our daughters and our sisters. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to place our women on obedience to Him and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to place our women on the path of the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and the Tabi'een and the ulama of His deen. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help our women and to make it easy for our women to be obedient to us and to please us and to satisfy us and to work hard at doing that for us for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward our wives and mothers and daughters and Muslim women for all of their efforts that are appreciated. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Brother, you wanted to ask a question not directly related to the topic, so I said we'll finish off that and then continue. تفضل. Sister says, so was I created to only achieve a certain status, being that a woman I am inferior to the man, and does the husband give the right to then point and always say disobedient to his wife? Because I see this happening. I try, so is my trying useless? No, your trying isn't useless. And it might not even be proper to say inferior to the man, but use the language of the Quran and the Sunnah. And I don't know if we should say that the women are created to achieve a certain status, but that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, لَيْسَ الذَّكْرُ كَالْأُنْثَى, that the women are not like the men. And Allah says for everyone, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, and I have not created the jinn nor the mankind except to worship me. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in other hadith, he showed that some of the women had reached levels of perfection, for lack of better words, with the likes of Asiya and Khadija and Fatima and Maryam. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he showed that these women were above the other women of this dunya, and that they were strong, and that many men were on a strong level, but only a few women had reached those levels. And some of the ulama, they say that this statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, when he's addressing the women, it doesn't necessitate that every single lady is described like that. But in fact, some of the women are not like that. And this is only a general statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that doesn't or might not apply to every single lady when you look at them individually, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Some of the brothers have said, I don't know if this will make the lady feel any better or not. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease the burden of our Muslim women. But that some of the brothers, they say, is life all about taking care of the women? Is life all about taking care of the women? I go to work, I have to give her shelter, give her food, give her clothing, raise her children, educate her children, pay for her children. I gotta work, 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 work. Is life all about the men working to take care of the women? Everybody has their place. And this is from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the men and the women. And we say, alhamdulillah. Is Islam? It's Islam or kufr? Is Jannah or the hellfire? Islam is beautiful, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, as it gives everybody their place. And it gives everybody their responsibility. And it gives everybody their happiness. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Are there statements for all the women? Should I not something my friends and study and memorize? No, there's an encouragement all of us, as we were mentioning some of the general texts, for everyone to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to study this deen. And then even in other texts, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam used to give a day where he used to educate the women. And this is different than admonishing the women. But there used to be other times where the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he used to take aside to educate the women to the affairs of their deen. So the women, they have to study and learn just like the men. And this is the nature of the women as described by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You gonna remember that point? So, in hopes of pleasing our husbands on ladies' night, I must know, is blank blank permissible? Jazakallahu khairan. My only answer, maybe they have to talk to some people other than me. When the doors are closed, don't ask any questions. Go for it. What's haram is that which has been mentioned in the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that is that it is permissible for a man to have relations with his wife when she's on her menstrual cycle or in her anus. This has been prohibited in the Kitab and in the Sunnah of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But don't limit and restrict yourselves and burden yourselves with these questions of what is permissible and what isn't. Know what's haram and stay away from it, and shut the doors and enjoy yourself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. You're going to be tied to the subject or? Yeah. Now, I don't know what you said. Oh, yeah, not to see what you're saying. Now. The brother is saying that, you know, if the sisters, if they want to do what the men do, like the women say, well, why we got to do this? And say, okay, if you don't want to live your lives just trying to please us, your husbands, then you could do what we do. Work yourself to death, take care of the bills and so on and so forth. And then there's going to be a problem because we're going to get rid of you. Now, go find some other stuff for the law. People who want men like wives. But we want lady like wives that we're going to be okay with. And everybody has their part. And let's not be affected by the ways of the kuffar. And this is only recent, even with the kuffar. Because even in America, and most of us even know and have lived it and witnessed it, that the women have had a role and the women and the men had a roles. And everybody had played their roles and everybody was happy. And then nowadays with all of this mixing of the roles and positions, that sometimes you don't know if a man is a man or a lady is a lady, or if they both at the same time, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. So Islam, alhamdulillah, it's the way and it's the answer. And the bright women will be like the women who were mentioned in the hadith. That they didn't ask or question the Prophet ﷺ to his statement of their deficiencies. But all they wanted to know was why and how. And they didn't question the Prophet ﷺ as if it wasn't the case of saying that they're the majority of the women of the hellfire. They just wanted to know why, so that they wouldn't do what those women who earned seats in the hellfire did. And this must be the concern of our women, to make sure that they stay on top of their sadaqah, and that they stay on top of using good languages and speaking good of the people, and that they stay on top of treating their husbands kindly, as this is what is important for the good women. And we hope that you are from amongst them, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you from amongst them. The brother, he was asking here before, and I said I wasn't going to forget. Oh yeah, and this was addressed really in the last talk for the fitna of the women. If your wife works, can you tell her to bring her whole check to you so you make sure you watch how that money is spent? Yes. Now we were even quoting the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ showing that this is a position of some of the ulama, that the lady mustn't spend any of her money until she has the permission of her husband. Like, honey, I'm going to buy 25 jilbabs. Nah. Wallahi, your sister's got 25 jilbabs. Nah. Even some brother, he told me, his wife got 40 jilbabs or something. Nah. Alright, she's going to ask, can she do that? And the man's going to say no. Nah. Or he's going to say yeah, because her deficient see and her intellect made him deficient. Oh, come on, honey, these jilbabs are so good. They just came into town. It's the conference. What do you want me to do? I haven't bought anything for the last 3 whole days. And then the husband, he breaks down, and then the lady buys all of the jilbabs, and then he's in trouble too. And I'm not saying or making statement around the jilbab, because the women shouldn't buy jilbabs. But some of the women with 40 jilbabs, they need to give some of the other women jilbabs. So I was saying, you know, we're getting close to a new year here, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been favoring us, and we're going to, inshallah ta'ala, make a new policy that no women can come in our institution, Muslim or kafir, without a jilbab. And to do this, we might need some of the women to donate some jilbabs. Not the old dirty ones with holes in it and stuff like that, but something that looks a little decent, that the women might wear it at least when they're in the building, and then they'll just hang it up on the way, the way out until they buy one for themselves. Or they might keep it if they commit to wearing it in obedience to Allah and His Messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What's that, man?
You raise your hand up.
That's it. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I just have one question for the Prophet. I remember time back, I asked the brothers, are we going to handle that deficit for the school before the school is out? And I was looking at some of the brothers, and it looks like everybody was shaking their head. Their heads. And I don't know, the brothers didn't give me the count today. We finished that? We finished? No, I mean for the teachers. We're going to work on everything. We just want to make sure the teachers is knocked out. Huh? Teachers is all right. It's a done deal. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. There is some more work to be done. And the brothers want to push me. I'm through. I'm going to just let y'all brothers handle the rest, inshallah. I was making dua all year, but for this day, alhamdulillah. We're hoping, inshallah, that maybe next week we might take advantage of a community meeting, inshallah, as there are some important issues that I think we all need to sit down and take a look at. I think that we all need to sit down and take a look at some of these moves, inshallah ta'ala, as everyone's going to be affected by these moves. We've been here for 2 years, alhamdulillah, and I mentioned before, we've been about 4 years into this project. And as you see, there's some things to finish up here in the Islamic Center of America itself. And there are other goals and objectives, some of which I've mentioned before, and others I haven't mentioned. But there are some things that are close to us right now, and we are considering them, but it might be nice to discuss it on a communal level, inshallah ta'ala, on the likes of a Friday night, to get some input from the brothers and the sisters, because it's going to be a demand on yourselves. As we talk about building the Muslim community, or establishing this, or establishing that, or building this, or building that, in America it all costs money. And I'm just like the next person. I dream that somebody's going to come and just say, here's $1 million. As they've said to so many people. And I've met people right here in America who collected hundreds of thousands of dollars. And some of the brothers, they can't count how many millions now that they've counted, that they've collected over the years for their project. I like to dream that this is going to take place here. But for right now, I think it might be nice for us to keep our dreams in our back pockets where they've been for the past couple of years. Because it doesn't look like, you know, those dreams are coming true anytime soon. I'm not saying that as a dua against us, that somebody doesn't help us like that one day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send the man to drop $1 million on us. Oh Allah, send them to us. Oh Allah, make it easy for him to walk through that door and drop that money. And Allah knows we have millionaires who walk through the doors of this masjid and have made salat with us. Oh Allah, soften their hearts and make it easy for them to give their wealth for your cause to establish your deen. But for right now, we have to look at our nickels and dimes and our hundreds and thousands, and to look at where it can take us. And this will be a topic, inshallah ta'ala, we'll probably pick up next week. I'll just end one of these topics off tonight. That it's been our desire for some time to make that parking lot a courtyard, for lack of better words. I don't know what you call that. You know, the parking lot will remove the fence, dig up the tar, make some grass, trees, flowers. I want to say a yellow brick road. You know, some of them. You know, the brick road that swerves, the door, Babu Ahl Sunnah. You know, nice sign there in the back. Maybe paint the whole masjid bright white for the purity of this deen of al-Islam. You know, maybe have a couple little swings, a little wall where the brothers can sit, call the people walking by to this deen of al-Islam, a little outdoor wudu station. You know what I'm saying? Something look real nice when you come up to the masjid. It looks real nice coming up to the masjid. And then to use one of those other areas as a parking lot. And one of the kuffar who owns a large piece of land right there, he says, you know what? I don't want anyone to buy this property from me but you Muslims. To use that property for yourselves and your children. And we have to make an offer to him. And he's made an offer, and that property looks large, about the size of this musalla. And he was making an offer to us of around $85,000, if we could take care of that by this fall. And one of the brothers, I was just mentioning to him, and he said, that's done. We don't have 40 brothers that can drop $2,000 and say it's done. We don't have that. The brother, he was saying that you can't convince me of that. And I'd be one of the brothers to put down two, but I might put down three or four if everybody's ready to get serious about establishing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. At any rate, what do some of the brothers think and the sisters think about that? We'll take a nice piece of land, make a little playground for the children up the hill, use it as a playground, parking lot. During the lunch break, remember we're saying, what are the children going to do during the lunchtime or gym? They don't get a chance to go outside. All right. You know, like we used to do when we go to lunch? All right, you hurry up, eat your lunch in 5-10 minutes.
Then you run outside to play. All right, you run outside to our little Muslim playground. Security be out there and what have you. Cross them across the street, up over there, right there. Let the children play, inshallah ta'ala, during lunchtime. Also for gym in the fall, the spring, except for the winter time, they can have gym outside, exercising, other things that the Muslims will do that is halal, inshallah ta'ala, in the Muslim playground. After school, we have to probably put some hours and some rules in the Muslim playground. You know, the Muslim children might go a little too far if you let them. And what have you, we have a nice little area. And then maybe, after that, maybe one of the brothers or sisters might look into an indoor pool. You know, you just build like a little nice little pool there. Then we have it, the time for the sisters, the time for the brothers. Have some sunnah recreations, you know. That which has been encouraged and recommended in the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all of that's possible. You own a nice piece of land, you could do that. And the land is large. It doesn't even take up that much room to do a swimming pool. It doesn't take up that much room. If you think about it, a nice sized pool where the Muslims can, you know, have a little fun or do a little swimming or what have you. At any rate, these are just some ideas, but these things are getting very close to us. These are getting very close to us, and probably this summer we're going to have to make a decision or some moves on some of these things. Well, like the brother, he was just reminding us for the air conditioner. And really, I didn't want to say anything because it's cool today. Nobody wants no air conditioner. But wait till tomorrow when it gets hot, or the day after, or whatever. If we stand up in the ranks and everybody busts a bullet, then you're going to say, we're ready for the air conditioner. Everybody's going to be dropping. But when it's cool, nobody don't want nothing. That's how we are. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. You know, if something isn't urgent, we don't want to do it. If we don't see an urgency in it, we don't want to do it. But that land, if we don't take care of it this summer or by this fall, then maybe it's going to be gone. And then, how are you going to get it from the one who knows you want it? You can't buy it if you know you want it. But now, if he wants you to have it, and you're saying, well, you know, we're going to see what we can do. You know, we could use it as a playground, maybe. I don't know. Is it really that good? I don't. Tell me something about your land. Sell it to me, man. Make me want it. Something. Make them feel like, you know, whatever. You don't know. Allah might bless us to come off. But, you know, sometimes the opportunities, you have to take advantage of them while they are opportunities. Because if we don't lock down some land, and housing, property, have you, then what are we going to wait for? The Jews to come in or somebody to come in and buy it up? And then they're going to what? Charge us astronomical prices for rent, and then when it comes to sell it to us, they're going to wait till it's no good, then they're going to sell it to us at the highest price. And wallahi, that's been the case oftentimes. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. At any rate, there's some other issues like these issues, and I think that it might be nice on a Friday night, inshallah ta'ala, to bring some of these issues and other issues to the community so that we can start taking a look at some issues, inshallah. But we'll probably put some of those issues or some encouragement to the people on the flyers to participate in next week's community meeting so that we can get some things done. Because we need more people to be involved, and we have a lot of things that we want to do, and they might be dreams today, and next week they might be goals that we might be striving for. As there are a lot of things we can do, and I think that everybody would like to get involved, and we'll make the call, inshallah ta'ala. But I thought I would mention the last thing. I'll mention one more last one. As it's right on my mind, as the program for the 4th of July is around the corner. You know, it's very cheap to buy, to pay for a monthly advertisement on a billboard, like $100 and less, or a little more depending on those billboards. And how would you feel when you're driving around, you see your masjid's billboard right there, and your masjid's program, everybody's coming in, and for a little bit of money? And how often, you know, I was thinking, this is just a little marketing strategy, maybe the brothers in marketing know better than me, that there are a lot of different billboards. And we might every month put it on another billboard. Accept Islam, it is the truth. Come visit us at the Islamic Center of America, Masjid al-Sunnah, for example. And then the next month you move it to the next billboard. And the next month to the next billboard. The next month to the next billboard. Some of the Kafirs, they be saying, man, I gotta accept Islam, man. Wallahi, every corner I turn, I see that sign. They'll think it's everywhere. You don't have to put it everywhere at one time. You just put it around. You know, people don't be remembering months, you know, years and all that. You say, man, I saw it over there. Next thing you know, I saw it over there. Well, when you see it over there, I don't seem like yesterday, man. Every time I turn around, I just see Islam, 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 or something like that. And that's a nice dawah tool that has been used before from some people, and it's very inexpensive. Four people come together, they put $25 down. You put a nice billboard right there. All of the people who see that billboard, maybe come check out Islam. Allah, you don't know how many people are waiting to come. And people, they walk by and drive by. They want to come in, but, you know, sometimes people are afraid. Well, I don't know nobody in there. You know, they don't even know. Can I come in there? I mean, how does somebody, if, you know, they see us sit in this place. Somebody, do they know they can just come in and ask about Islam? Maybe they don't know. I mean, it's some people, maybe they never really met and talked to a Muslim like that. Some people are shy. So you make like a nice open invitation. So they say, we could just walk up in there. And then they come. Somebody said, I could just come up in here, you know, see what y'all doing. Yeah, come on in, man. It's Islam, man. Come on, talk with the brothers, man. Islam's the house. Tell you a little bit about this deen. Come on, man. Get you something to drink. Whatever. Start talking to the kuffar. Call them to Islam. Wallahi, people waiting for Islam. And there's other things that, you know, we can do. And inshallah ta'ala, next week we'll probably sit down at this time, inshallah ta'ala, and start taking a look at things. And maybe we might, right on the spot, inshallah ta'ala, develop some committees and get some brothers and some sisters, and even some of our children, inshallah ta'ala, directly involved in some of the projects, so that in this summer, inshallah ta'ala, we can be very productive, inshallah ta'ala, in trying to spread Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen and to establish some Islam, inshallah ta'ala. The air conditioner, we'll deal with that as soon as the weather gets hot, inshallah ta'ala. Now. It's a whole bunch of brothers. They want to match, you know, that, inshallah ta'ala. But we just need some people to make sure that they take care of that, you know. We have a whole bunch of things, you know. We're going to try to lay out something. And that, you know, you can't imagine how you can do so many things with so little money and so little effort that people are organized and serious about doing things. Things aren't very difficult, believe it or not. Things are very simple. A lot of things are just a phone call away. A lot of things are cheap. Really, a lot of things are even free. As we're, you know, probably mentioned that, we're telling people, why don't you write to Jacqueline? I don't even know if that exists. I don't know, whatever these workout places are. We write them and tell them we're a religious organization on the haq, encouraging and teaching and spreading the haq, and we would like them to give to the haq by donating some of their good equipment that they're replacing so that we can put in our weight room to keep the people of our institution healthy. You don't think people want to donate? Wallahi. Just the other day, I was visiting one of the brothers at his job at the doctor's office, and I saw some nice equipment. I said, Doc, you got to be getting rid of some of this stuff. You know, the new stuff coming out and all that. I know you're trying to stay up with the times. He said, come to think of it, I'm trying to get a new couple pieces. I said, well, like this one right here? You don't really need that. He said, no, matter of fact, I'm getting a new one. So we'll take that. He said, drive the brother, drive, just come on. You want to take it right now? So now we'll be back with the truck. Oh, come on. You can't imagine how many institutions, especially when they know you have a tax ID number that they write it off. You can't imagine how many computers, desks, tables, very usable equipment that people are just giving away. Or really, they're going to throw away if they don't have anyone to give this good equipment to. And it only takes for some people to organize themselves for a little committee to make sure that once a month or so that they write these organizations and keep an eye update. Remember last month, we had sent you a memo from our organization. We're not trying to bother you or nag you. We just want to remind you that whenever spring cleaning comes, please take our organization into consideration. We'll send someone over there for you. We'll let you come to our building, take a picture in front of it, you know, for your newsletter at your company, what have you. You know, let the Catholics just stand in front of the building and take pictures of themselves or something. You know, and they'll be happy to do that and give you stuff. Wallahi, it's a lot of stuff, but we need to sit down, you know, probably as a community, and discuss some of these avenues, inshallah ta'ala, and get everybody, you know, involved and working, and everybody taking charge of different committees and what have you. And the success is with Allah. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.